Thanks for tuning in to the Animal Control Report podcast, where we help debunk the dog catcher stereotype. A lot of times people think it's a dog catcher when they hear about animal control officers. But here on the Animal Control Report, we change that by taking you inside the day-to-day operations of animal control officers. Not only will you hear stories of animal control officers, but you'll hear from industry experts as well. We are also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. We have some amazing partners there, so check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. You can listen to all the animal control and animal welfare related podcast there. And let's continue to help people help animals.
Welcome to the Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop,
OG, and Texas Bishop.
And we got Ashley Bishop, Ashley Bishop, and Daniel Ettinger. And that's good. Maybe we can find another Daniel Ettinger to also host this show.
I don't think we can handle another Daniel Ettinger.
There's a Daniel Ettinger that's famous for, like, what's that stuff where you, like, play violin and cello and bass and, like, that stuff, like orchestra?
Uh-huh.
Oh, we should get him on the show. Yo, Daniel Ettinger, if you're listening, bro, we need you, bro.
I was trying to see where you were going to go with that.
Well, let's just start with a quick shout out to LiveTrap. Have you been on LiveTrap.com? Recently, Bishop, looking for rescue or anything else?
Which Bishop?
I am.
Either Bishop.
I haven't been on the website, but I've talked to Kyle.
Well, that's good. Kyle's great.
Because Kyle's awesome.
Well, go to livetrap.com. Whatever you're looking for, animal control related, throw it in there. Put it in the search bar. Again, I just got some snappy snares on order. Again, I know. They're not for me.
You?
They're not for me. Oh. But if he sold lariat ropes, I'd be all in. again, use that discount code Keep It Humane for 10% off your order. LiveTrap.com, Keep It Humane. Also, check out the Keep It Humane podcast network. That's keepithumane.com/podcast network. And most importantly, check out the tattoo challenge on TikTok at Keep It Humane. And that tattoo challenge, you know what? Get it. I'm now up to, I have 5 kittens on my leg, but I need 6. And I can't find the 6th person. So when we got it done, I had his cell phone number and then I somehow lost it. And so if you're listening, text me because I need your kitten. That sounds weird. And I'll show, there'll be a photo. If you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, you could see the photos right now of the tattoo challenge. It's all about raising awareness of spay and neuter. And I think you know the story. Bishop, OG Bishop, do you know the story?
I'm aware of this story.
Are you going to get
talked about it on different episodes?
Are you going to get it in Texas? Are you going to get it this year when you're with Kelly and Tabitha?
I don't know. Maybe. Remind me again. So I remember the story that it involved other students getting your picture. But what is the challenge itself?
The challenge is the people that get it get to give me a drawing of their kitten so I can fill up my leg showing how fast unspay and neutered cats can reproduce.
And
so
they got to get a the original picture of your 2 cats, right?
Yeah,
that were awful,
horrible. But we're up to 7 people, including myself, that have it. So tattoo around and find out.
Kelly, Tabitha, are we getting a tattoo in Texas?
I can't remember. I don't think Kelly is going to do it, but Tabitha may. Tabitha lives more.
Oh, come on,
edge.
Tabitha! I'm sure would. It's a cat.
I know. It is a cat. So check that out as well. Also, if you want those new challenge coins, check that out at keepithumane.com/store. And you can get those. Those things sold out ridiculously fast. So made on a back order, but it should be here soon. I have also, I'm going to throw this out there. Do either of you know what a Cubaton is?
No.
Okay, cool. Cool. That's just my
thinking it's another word you made up.
No.
Or an instrument. Mm.
You can Google it and get back to me. It's spelled with a K, Cubaton. And just then look at it. Don't give it away for the group, but then use your imagination on what's coming next. I'm just going to wait. Hold on. As I wait, I'll use some filler. So because this is radio or podcast, you can't really have much silence. About 4 minutes or 4 seconds of silence. Do you know where I'm going with that?
There's a lot of different places you could be going with that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even going there, Dan. That was all you.
Anyway, so that's on the horizon. And once I get the prototype, I'm really excited about that. So yeah.
Challenge coins are beautiful. I'm excited to give them out tomorrow.
Oh, they're going to love that.
I know it. I know it.
Thanks for getting those. They're fun. They are. I can't believe how fast they sold out. So thanks for all who purchased. We appreciate that. And your proceeds go to help a single father of two. No, just kidding. Let's go. All right. So what we got on today, we're going to talk about Kimmy the Rottweiler. Kimmy, this is going to be a case study that happened 10 years ago in July. July of 20, what did I say, 24th? 28th. So
you bounced around.
What's new? What we're going to start with here is the audio recording of the mother of the dog owner calling 311. Do y'all know what 311 is?
Nope.
So 311 is like the city's data.
Information? No.
Yeah, yeah, like the city's dispatch center, but not 911, right? So
the non-emergency?
No, because PD still has a non-emergency line. Mm-hmm. This is like my neighbor's, like you're calling because your neighbor's weeds are too high, or the garbage truck hasn't come yet, or somebody's in a parking violation. It's just the city's general number to call. And for a long time, animal control, where I work, Denver, was dispatched, and they're no longer dispatched that way. They actually use the police dispatch, but they were dispatched through the 311 system, and so therefore this is how this call came in. So they had actual dispatchers. It was just a little different. So I'm going to pull this up.
Thank you for calling Denver 311. This is Amy. How may I
help you
today?
Yep. Yes.
About 11 o'clock. About having an animal put to sleep. And expected to get a call back in about 2 hours. And I haven't gotten a call yet.
Okay. So you wanted an animal picked up or?
Yeah, picked up and then have her put to sleep.
Because
she's, you know, she can't make it. I think this morning I woke up and it sounds like she has pneumonia.
Okay. All right. And you're at Denver.
Yes.
Denver. Let me just a second here. And what's the address, ma'am?
We'll have her out in the backyard.
All right, I'm looking to see what Animal Care and Control has done already, so I can give you an update on that. And you gave them that address, 54?
Well, they didn't even ask for an address. They just said they would have somebody call me.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm hoping to have it done today. I give her some marijuana honey to knock her out so she won't be so aware of what's going on.
She's in pain, and you're not able to bring her down, correct?
No.
Okay. All right. Give me just a minute, because what I want to do is get your name and phone number again, but I also want to put your address in so that Animal Care and Control has that.
Okay.
Do you mind holding just a moment, please?
No, that's okay.
Thank you.
So now she's going to be placed on hold, and they're going to do some research and get back to her, but she did give her a little bit of marijuana honey to knock her out. So that alone,
we don't allow that kind of stuff here. How potent is marijuana honey?
I mean, it's probably pure THC with honey. I mean, back then, so that's 2014. I think that's July. Marijuana became legal in January of that year, I believe. So the regulations probably, I don't know. I would imagine it was pretty high. And I don't think we even did a necropsy, but we do have the vet report, and we'll see if there's any information on that. So let's go back to the call.
All right, ma'am. Thanks so much for holding.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go ahead and get your name, please.
Okay. It's Judith Buckhart. It's for Judy Buckhart. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, they used to come and do it for free if you were a senior.
I think if you're unable to bring the pet down there, they're able to help you out. But that's what I'm wanting to get you over, you know, your request over there right away. Okay. Zip code 80216.
That's right.
All right. All right. What I'm trying to do is locate your earlier request so I can give them a time frame. So
okay.
Bear with me just a moment.
And their request was denied, and I'll get into that.
Called them friends. Well, I didn't think that would get me anywhere. And of course, it didn't.
And those are listening, Dumb Friends League is another shelter, but they're a nonprofit.
Okay, I found it. Okay, so she said that that earlier you were told it's a $50 fee to put the animal down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm just following up on what they...
Better than have her and just die.
Well, yeah.
I woke up this morning and I think she's got pneumonia now.
Oh.
She can barely... Well, she used to whoop, you know.
Yeah.
Now she barely does that.
Is she elderly?
I'm not really... She was a friend, belonged to a friend that died of cancer. And so I don't know. I think she's about 7, 8 years old, maybe. She has hip dysplasia. So I guess that usually hits them when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she got a weed seed worked up her hind leg. It's all swollen, and she was couldn't put any weight on that leg. Then she got to where she just couldn't get up anymore. She hasn't been able to get up for about 4 or 5 days at all. So I'm cleaning up the floor or trying. I'm on a walker and oxygen, and I can't really. She's right sort of in the middle of the living room, kind of in the doorway to the kitchen. And it's hard to try to do anything.
All right. So what I'm doing is I'm sending over a request for an animal control officer to give you a call back.
Okay.
Since you hadn't received a call back from the earlier one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't guarantee when they'll call or whatever, but I've got your address in there this time.
Okay.
So
be sure and tell them I'm on a walker. If I'm not right by the phone, let it keep ringing because I can't get to it right away.
All right.
I mean, don't give up. I'm here. Not going anywhere.
And I've stated that your pet is suffering and you really need some assistance on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no way to get her anywhere, you know, myself.
Right.
I can barely make it into a car myself without.
Right. Needing assistance. Well, it sounds like you're keeping her as comfortable as possible. And
yeah, right now she's out cold. She's barely breathing. I just don't want anybody to make a mistake. Think she's dead.
Right.
And
right.
Not, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, I put the information in there, Judith. I'm really sorry about your pet, but hopefully we'll get some help over to you as soon as possible.
Okay. That will be today, won't it?
I hope so.
Well, I hope so too.
I can't guarantee anything, but I put all of your information you've given me in there for the officer to look at, okay?
Okay.
All right, hon. You have a good rest of the day, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'm sorry, sweetie.
Okay, so that's the second call. Now, what we don't have audio of is when she called the first time and they were told it was either her, and what's not mentioned here in this dispatch call is the dog actually belonged to her, like, 40-something-year-old son that lived in the same house of hers. And I'll actually get his birthday here when we go through some of this paperwork.
I was going to ask, Dan, you said earlier that her request was denied. What what request? I guess for euthanasia or help or?
So, yeah, we didn't pick up animals from the public in that scenario for owner request euthanasia. And that's kind of the problem with the 311 system is you're not talking directly. And with all due respect, it's just they're general call takers. They're not in the animal control world, or they don't have specific information that may be valuable. I mean, this dog was clearly suffering, and I think we should have went anyway, no matter what. Even if we were just going to go to pick up the animal and euthanize it, or to do an investigation on why was the animal suffering for the last 5 days where it didn't get up, right? Like, just because you're getting rid of a dog doesn't abstaunch. Is that a word?
I'm not fancy enough to know.
You know what I'm trying to think of.
Yes, and I can't think of it now.
All right, well, when you think of it, just let me know. But my point is, like, it doesn't absolve you from the previous crime just because you want to, like, surrender the dog at this point. So if the dog was neglected, etc., it was neglected, right? And so
neglect is neglect.
So we told them that they had to bring it in. We knew the son had a vehicle, and he was being a dickhead. And we'll get to that when I read my report. Okay. So then we get another call, I don't know, a few hours later, of now we get a call for a dog in the alleyway on a blanket that looks like it's dead. So that's the next call is there's, hey, you need to go out to this address in the alleyway. Same general address. So I had no idea of any of this communication. My sergeant at the time, Nicole Paul, shout out Nicole Paul, she remembers dealing with a customer call for us to pick up this dog for euthanasia. And she put two and two together. And she's like, that's the same dog. The dog in the alleyway is the same dog. So I get out there. And this is 2014. Half of our listeners probably weren't even born yet. Those cell phones were like there. For whatever reason, unless it was done on my work phone and I just never transferred it to my keepsake file, which I think all of us might have. I don't have photos, but I just remember it like it was yesterday. I was driving one of these white creeper vans that we had for the department. I was listening to 95.7 The Party, which is like pop music. I'm pretty sure a Rihanna song was on. No. Okay. Anyway, I pull up to the alley and you just see this white blanket in the alleyway and a Roddy just laying on there motionless. And I'm thinking this dog is completely dead. Like, okay, cool. Somebody just put a dog out there. It's dead. Like, I just got to pick it up. But what I knew of, well, I didn't know yet. I didn't get the call from Nicole until after I had the dog. So I pick up the dog. No. I don't even pick up the dog yet. I like look at the dog. And this is where I hope I had pictures, but I don't know if I do, to be honest. So this is like for all of our listeners, photograph and video everything. So I should have videoed it as well.
Always.
This dog's laying motionless. She has, and you'll see when I share the photos, her one leg is like double, almost triple the size of her normal leg. And there's maggots just everywhere, right? On her leg.
The smell.
Oh yeah, you can smell that. I can smell it right now. So I pick her up, put her in the van, and head over to Alameda East Veterinary Clinic in Denver. And that's when Nicole, our sergeant, called me. And she's like, dude, I know where this dog lives. I was like, all right, cool. I'll follow up here, but let me get this dog to the vet. So I get the dog to the vet. So that's one of the photos at the clinic with the dog's leg just completely just horrible. And I think on the other side, like you can see this wound here on the inside of the leg, like absolutely just swollen beyond repair. You can see that too. Yeah,
I bet you she was septic at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Look how big that is compared. Like,
yeah,
insane. And so there she was, and the veterinarian was like, we have to euthanize her immediately due to her condition, right? So they did that, and then I went back out to the property. Look at the report. So they weighed her, no weight. They have it as a male, but it was a female named Kimmy. Patient presented at hospital by Denver Animal Shelter, laterally recumbent with severe miasis. Denver Animal Shelter states the owner reported that the Rottweiler was non-responsive in the backyard after being ingested marijuana butter in the afternoon. Several hours later, DAS, Denver Animal Shelter, received a second call of the dog in a nearby alleyway. So they go through and do all the whatever reporting. So there's like medial aspect of hind limbs, hype, I don't know how you say these doctor words. I wish they would just write.
Hyperemic,
Thank you. And
and
all.
ulcerated.
Okay, cool. Thank you. You want to finish that? Because
We
you have the vet tech aspect of it. I don't.
both do, remember?
Yeah, I mean, both bishops do.
And see.
mean, the basic gist of it is that there is a lot of open wounds
Yeah,
and
three.
her, including her rectum, which means probably blown out anal glands, would be my guess.
Deep.
Maggots around her perineum and hind limbs, so that's going to be around her
Where the
anus and
anus.
prolonged
Prolonged.
skin tent. Yep, so she's going to be super,
Dehydrated.
very dehydrated. Go down, Dan.
It's weird that it doesn't. Let me see if I can figure out a way. Hang on,
I'm
because.
surprised her body condition score was a 4 out of 9, honestly, reading the rest of that.
Let me reshare this.
Agreed. It looked like they marked her in at 80 pounds.
Here's the whole thing. All right.
Let's see here.
Yeah, she was a big girl, and she had some like solid mutt. Like I remember her not being like extremely thin. It was just that back leg was absolutely just ridiculous.
No pneumonia, it looks like. Lungs were clear, no cracks.
Non-painful abdomen, no obvious masses.
Left pelvic limb severely swollen, right pelvic limb severely atrophied.
So, based on the, I almost wonder if she didn't get into a fight with another. Looking at this, I would think she either got into a fight with another dog or something to cause those initial lacerations. They got super infected, which
She
put
might
her
still.
into high stress, which made her anal glands explode, essentially, and probably septic, which is why she was comatose. Between that and the marijuana
Yeah.
would be my professional, unprofessional opinion. I'm not a doctor, obviously,
Agreed. Most of this
but
looks like, the shape of the dog was due to the wounds.
yeah.
So,
And all of that should have been easily treated
handled.
if it would have gotten treated initially.
Well, that's just it, right? I mean, I think that's the big thing as far as proving a neglect case. And at the end, it shows that, like, we approved $400 for them to examine, treat, and then euthanize. I mean, I guess I could have just taken it back to the shelter, but I was closer to the emergency clinic, and this was a pretty severe case. I didn't want it to, I guess, go on longer than it needed to. Excuse me. And so I think like that was the best course of the plan. But I would think, okay, so she says in the call that the dog was basically lateral for 4 or 5 days, and she insinuated that she was like cleaning up urine from the floor because the dog couldn't move. But the dog had to have been showing signs for probably weeks, if not longer. And
Oh, yeah.
that's where the issue is. So as we break this down now, I'll read my report, and then I will break down some of his history, and then we'll go through the court record as well. So just so both of you know and our listeners know, I took this case to the DA and I said, I think this needs to be charged as a misdemeanor animal neglect case because of X, right? Like I said, like all these things. And I have a total of 9 previous summonses by the dog owner. Okay. So related to animals, not like
Oh.
animal cruelty specific, but just showing his pattern with animal
Why
neglect.
misdemeanor?
Because in Colorado, a felony has to be aggravated animal cruelty. So that means with criminal intent. Like he ha you have to do it criminally.
So here, disfigurement, mutilation, or death, that would have been a felony here. That was absolute disfigurement.
We had a similar case where we had a person actually chop off a dog's ears and we've like bled it everywhere. And the detective said, that's not cruelty. It's a medical procedure that usually happens in a vet clinic.
No, it doesn't.
It's a medical procedure if you have a medical degree to perform it.
Yeah. Didn't follow the suit of torture.
Oh my God.
All right, I'm gonna read. I'll read our case report. Now, this is 10 years ago. I've learned a lot. Okay, so don't judge me.
Oh, we're
Judge it.
judging.
You can judge.
I'm not judging.
It's not my favorite report ever, but I still want to read it because I think it's important because reports are extremely important to how we do our casework, and I think, you know, for our listeners and everyone, like just to have context too behind it. So, case report 14-217876. On July 18, nope, let me try again. Let me make this bigger so I can actually see it. Here we go. On July 28th, 2022. Wow. Bishop, what this is just I might have you read it. Hold on. All right, here we go. Third time's a charm. On July 28th, 2014, at approximately 16:30 hours, I, Officer D. Ettinger, badge 3112, was dispatched to the alleyway of 5041 Adam Street for a Rottweiler type dog that was allegedly injured and not moving. Upon arrival, I viewed a Rottweiler laying on a white blanket in the alleyway approximately one house south of 5041 Adams. The dog was breathing very slowly, and there was a large amount of flies on and around the dog. When I attempted to pick up the dog, I noticed that its right rear leg, nope, right, yep, I can't read. I noticed that its left leg was swollen and there were three, I don't know why I was so specific about this, three maggots that fell off the leg. I loaded the dog onto my van and drove to Alameda East Veterinary Clinic. While I was en route, I was contacted by Sergeant Paul with Denver Animal Care and Control, stated that she located the owner of the dog. She received a call from 311 from a woman named Judy Buckhart at 5043 Adams Street. In the transcript of the call, Miss Buckhart is asking for animal control to come and remove her sick dog. The dog was examined by Dr. John Romano, who determined that there was a massive amount of swelling to the left rear leg and large amounts of maggots living in the leg. The dog was euthanized by Romano due to its critical condition. I was able to obtain the transcript of the call made to 311 by Miss Buckhart. In the beginning of the call, Miss Buckhart says, I'm calling about having an animal put to sleep. She stated how the dog can't make it and she thinks that it has pneumonia. She also says, I gave her some marijuana honey to knock her out so she won't be aware of what's going on. On August 19th, 2014, so this is three
Almost a
weeks
month
later.
later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what I was doing was like trying to get this case shopped to the DA and then like putting together the case report. And then I finally put this last sentence or sentence paragraphs, a couple paragraphs together. Hopefully they're better than the first because my goodness, I'm embarrassed reading this. On August 19th, 2014, I arrived at 5041 Adams Street at approximately 1400 hours. I met with Miss Judy Buckhart, who stated her son Gregory Buckhart got the dog Kimmy, a female Rottweiler, from his friend who was dying of cancer approximately 6 months ago. I asked her how long the left leg was swollen, and she said 2 months from when we got her. She also said it was probably a foxtail seed up in her leg that caused the swelling. I asked her why they didn't take the dog to the vet, and she said, what are they going to do? Cut open the leg and search for a seed? Miss Buckhart also said, how can we afford a vet, especially if we're not working? I asked to speak with Gregory, but he wasn't home. I came back to the property at about 2000 hours and met with Gregory Buckhart, who confirmed that he received the dog approximately 6 months ago from his friend who was dying of cancer. I asked him how long the leg was swollen, and he said She didn't really use that leg when we first got her. He also stated the previous owner kept her thin because she couldn't put much weight on her hindquarters. I asked him why he didn't take her to the vet, and he said, "I work out of my truck. I'm not putting that smelly, shitty, pissy, bloody dog in there." While I was on scene, I viewed a black border collie mix. The dog belonged to Mr. Buckhart and his mother, Judy. The dog's name was Boots and had matted fur on her hindquarters. They both stated they were trying to cut off the fur, but not able to clip the mat out entirely. The dog was not currently vaccinated against rabies, which was not only a city requirement, but a professional groomer would not work on the dog until vaccinated. I issued an administrative citation for that dog not having a current vaccination and city license. So that's my 10-year-old report that I'm embarrassed that I read, but it is what it is.
So the friend was dying of cancer.
Correct.
Was the friend dead?
I think so. I think the friend did die. It died of cancer.
Did you happen to... Okay, let's go with this. Are we critiquing this at all?
Sure. Why not? This is great for everybody.
Okay. Do you ever check with neighbors to see how long they actually had the dog?
I did not.
Because my only thought there is, did they actually have the dog longer than what they are saying? And have... I mean, obviously, they should have gotten veterinary care. And this is one of those cases, I feel like, where everybody is like, oh, you know... if you can't afford a dog, you shouldn't have a dog. And then at the same time, we're like, okay, well, veterinary care needs to be more affordable, but it's hard in this situation because really these people shouldn't have had a dog because they couldn't care for it.
Yeah. There's no doubt I should have gotten the name of the deceased or the person that was dying just to have it. And then I could look at records, and you're absolutely right. Like I could have gone to neighbors, etc. And I did not do either of those things. I know now, I think partly why the DA was like, nah, bro, I'm not taking this case. Like I put together kind of a shitty case. Like as I read over my report, it wasn't really well done outside of the fact that we knew the dog suffered for a minimum 5 days and then, was euthanized due to that critical.
Oh, well, definitely a lot more than 5 days.
Well, yeah. What we could have done in addition is my point is also get a necropsy to determine all of the other stuff. We didn't do that either. So I gave the DA a crappy case, and she was like, she was kind of like a fill-in DA for our regular animal DA. She wasn't the one who did all the animal cases. So I wonder if the animal DA was there, she would have walked me through some of the changes that I should have made. But no, I definitely agree that there was a lot of error.
Another thing that probably not a lot of people would think about, but having seen animals with wounds with the maggots and that in it, and with the technology we have now, I would suggest getting video for the sound that Absolutely. Was coming out of that leg. Absolutely. I think if... you could have provided that to the DA's office, because maggots will have, like, there is a sound that comes with that.
Well, it does go to the city attorney, and we actually got good results. So though the DA denied it, the city still had animal cruelty as part of the city statute. Good. So I want to go over that. And here's how I presented it. Before I do that, though, Texas Bishop, you've been quiet. So did you have anything to add?
I was like, I'm just listening. But I was going to ask about the second dog. Like, was there ever follow-ups? Was there anything, I guess, after you guys went to the city, were they removed?
So with the second dog, I did require vet care for the matting. And there was follow-up. I just don't remember, honestly. Like, I can't recall. I think they finally got in compliance, because a lot of times with those city tickets for license and rabies, we would void it or rescind it if they got it within a certain mm-hmm. amount of time, mm-hmm. like 30 days. And so I'm pretty sure they got that dog care. But what I could have done better is show that pattern of neglect, because it's both neglect, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's exactly what it is. So let me go into his history. So what I did is I started looking at this dude, Buckhart, Gary, did I call him Gary? Gary Buckhart.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I started looking to see, like, did we have prior history? It sure did. So now, again, this is 2014. So I don't know how relevant it is. I think it's relevant to show a pattern of ownership of animals for sentencing, right? And I think it did come into play. Okay. So in 1993, Jesus.
Y'all want to know how old I was in 1993?
he was cited for dog running at large. So a violation. I don't know what the actual outcome of that case was, but he was cited for that. In 1993, he had another failure to license and vaccinate. Now we move to another case in 93. It was two dogs that he did that with. Now in 1995, he had another dog at large, failure to license, failure to vaccinate, and failure to spay and neuter. So he was actually jailed on this case because he had a FTA, so he didn't show. And they jailed him. They fined him. It was literally, he was in jail for probably, I don't even know, a few days. And then they fined him maybe a day, and then he got out. And then in 2006, so we're getting closer to 2014, he had another failure to vaccinate, failure to license, failure to spay and neuter, but now it's an animal attack or bite. So his dog allegedly bit somebody, and he basically took a guilty plea. He had another FTA warrant for his arraignment or his actual sentencing. So he had to come back in, cancel his warrant, do all that. He was not jailed for that one. All right, now we're up to his sixth animal-related summons. In 2007, he had another leash law violation and another animal attack or bite, and he was charged with $352 in restitution. They suspended the restitution, which is really interesting because normally you would pay that restitution out. So that's interesting that they did that. In 2007, he had a dangerous dog charge, which he was guilty of. They imposed $266 in fines, suspended $200 of those, and that was pretty much it. And he kept getting these warrants issued for failure to appear. Like, this dude fails to appear pretty much on every ticket.
And what was, do you know what the breed of dog was for the dangerous dog one?
It doesn't say. I'd have to look. I would have had to look in our database, and obviously I don't work there anymore, so no idea. But if anybody in Denver is listening, his name is Gregory Buckhart. Shoot us a text message off the rip, and we'll just share it allegedly. Then eighth summons looks like a repeat. Let's see if the ninth. Okay, and then the ninth summons was our summons, the one that I did. So we'll walk through this. So Buckhart was arraigned on, let's see here. The case was entered on August 25th. Our arraignment date was September 30th. He took a guilty plea, and I remember being there for the arraignment because I wanted to, like, follow this case. I really wanted to follow this case all the way through. I was like, I just feel like there should be something done. And so the judge, I remember the judge was just really, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Nonplussed.
What's that mean?
Like, aloof.
I would say the opposite. I was actually kind of surprised. So when he tried the case, he said, and I remember our DA was busy, you know, doing other stuff on his docket. And I just remember him saying, like, is anybody here representing the city for this case? And I said, excuse me, Judge, will you allow me to go get the DA? Because he was back in the office right there. And so I go get the DA, and we presented the case, and I got to testify, and the judge listened to it. Thankfully I didn't read my narrative, because I'd have probably got thrown the fuck out. But the judge basically, like, read him the riot act and was like, so let me just understand, like, you just let this dog sit here and suffer? And he was like, well, I mean, I'm not working. And I think the kicker was partially where he made that comment, and I'm glad that I quoted it, where he's like, I'm not putting that shitty, smelly, bloody, pissy dog in my truck. Like, he had access to get this dog care. He just refused to do it because he worked out of that vehicle. It's like, bro, if you're that worried, put a fucking blanket down.
Yeah.
So he imposed 180 days of jail time. However, he suspended 150 days and made him serve 30. That was the first jail time that I got on any case, and that was now 4 years into the industry for me. And it wasn't about the jail time, more though it was about like us winning the case for the dog, right? Kimmy getting the justice that she deserved. And we did submit his prior history of just animal violations, so I don't know if that played into some of the sentencing, but it was part of it. So at the end of the day, like, did that dog have to suffer? Yeah. I mean, this dude had to sit in jail too and think about what he did for 30 days. He probably only did 18 days as long as he was good. But still, I wouldn't want to sit in jail for 10 minutes, let alone 18 days.
Was there any follow-up with any vets, Dan, like to see if any of that history of how many animals he's had after he came into compliance?
No. Good question, though. Like, I think there's a lot more we could have done in general. Like, there's a lot of more follow-up and thoroughness that we could do. And I think for me, it's that learning experience. And that was kind of the, I think that case sticks out to me as like the catalyst, that moment in time in my career. Because I was doing the job, like in 2010, I was like part-time and then seasonal. And then I went to like a agency that was really small, that all we did was drive around, look in your windows to see if you had dog, and then send you a failure to license letter in the mail. We'll get to that one day. And then I finally got to Denver in late 2011. In the first 2 years or year and a half, like, it's really trying to gather your bearings and understand like the job. Mm-hmm. And so that case was like the first case that like really showed me I really enjoy these investigations, though I feel I did a really poor job at it. I really do. I feel like there's so much more I could have done. That's now helped me with future cases, right?
Learning, you have to learn from every case that you do, because every case is going to have something that you could have done better. It's called hindsight's 2020 for a reason.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you actually learn from it is all that matters in mm-hmm. that case. You did get her some justice. Maybe not what you wanted, but it is what it is. And you made it better for every animal that you've dealt with after that.
And I appreciate that, because that's kind of how I look at it, right? Like, how can I learn from this situation and not only apply it to the work that I do, but now being in a situation where I'm, you know, supervising staff is like, dude, I've made these mistakes too. Like, they're going mm-hmm. to happen. Even though there were mistakes made, we still were victorious, right?
Yeah.
The only difference of having it go to a state charge versus the city charge is if he happened to move somewhere in the state of Colorado, that charge would follow him. He ain't mm-hmm, moving. That dude didn't move. You know, like, there's no way. But, and there could have been more, like, there could have been no animal ownership. Like, those are the things that I would have asked for. Like, I would ask for us to have been able to go back and check on that other dog without like having the need of a search warrant. Like, that's part of the conditions of his parole, not parole, well,
bond.
probation and or bond. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, even as seasoned as anybody is, you can always learn from something, you know, there's always something that comes up, a little thing that you forget, you know, it's part of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But I'm grateful for it. Like, it definitely was that key moment. If anybody asks, like, what is that key case that stuck out to me early in my career, it would absolutely be this. And then one other one is I charged the wrong charge on this dog that had a hernia in the stomach, and their intestines fell into it. Umbilical. You know, and then it looks like really big. Mm-hmm. I charged, it was a little chihuahua, just like this little guy that Texas Bishop's holding. And I charged.
He's in the witness protection program.
Because he got blurred out his face.
Yeah.
No one can see it though, because it only shows who's talking. So Bishop, talk really quick so they can see your.
Hello,
cheek.
Hello, hello.
There he
hello.
Is.
Boo-boo.
But no, the other case that like sticks out where I made a mistake was it had an umbilical hernia. It was at large. I chased it home, confirmed all this stuff. This was like way early, like when I first started in Denver, and I charged. So we had a neglect cruelty statute for the city, but I charged the hot dog car one and not the not the right one, so it got dismissed.
That happens. Hey, you know what? I charged somebody for having too many animals and then got a call from the alderman who's like, yeah, we changed that ordinance like a month ago.
Oh,
they
wow.
don't have too many animals. I'm like, well, nobody told me. So.
Thank you. Well, that's all I got for today on Kimmy, and I'm glad we were able to get her the justice.
I still think that it was probably possibly another dog bite, especially with that other dog in the house.
Yeah, that's a great. I never even thought about that. How it happened. That's a great perspective. Yeah. So like she got bit on the back legs and then it got infected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it looked like where some of those injuries were, where the tendons are, and man, tendons are nasty. You know, they get infected and geez, you get septic pretty quick. One of the wounds also looked like a pressure wound too, so she could have been
laying,
lateral.
Like a pressure sore. Yeah.
Yeah, she could have been lateral for a lot longer.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. And there's no, like at the end of the day, there's no excuse. Like if it was truly just her, and that's the thing that you don't hear on the dispatch, like they called before, he had a vehicle, we knew he had a vehicle. So like if you're truly somebody in need and your animal's suffering, like we would have gone out. Right. Like that's not the case. The case is this, like we told him he needed to bring the dog to the shelter. He had the ability to do so. And he was like completely staunch against it. And that was why we said no. That's why we didn't go out the second time. It's like, no, we've already advised him that he needs to bring it in. And so that responsibility falls on him. And at the end of the day, like if you want to be that type of person, like you then has to pay the consequences, and he got to sit in jail. I do remember him trying to like, the one thing I will say about him in court, like he wasn't like he did like accept his responsibility, which I thought was cool in that aspect. The only thing he asked the judge, he was like, hey, can we schedule a date for me to come in just because I have to get a few things set for my mom before I go to jail? So he wasn't even like, I'm not going to go to jail. He was just like, because she has some, you know, disability things, like I would like to just get a few things set. And the judge was like, that's absolutely fine, but you're still going to jail. And I was like, all right,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
Which shows also too that he's got empathy. So why do you have empathy in that sense, but not for the animals that are in your care?
It's his mom. Yeah, I mean, I agree, but it's like it's his mom versus
no,
the dog.
For sure.
Or, yeah. So yeah, he's got empathy for his mom, but I also like go, was this a break for him from his mom?
Huh.
And like because I don't know, I don't get a good feeling about the fact that he was so willing.
He's like, let's go. Let's go to jail.
Yeah. I mean, could have been just a little bit of a break for him.
Yeah. Could have been. Well, speaking of breaks, it's time to break the show. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for being a fan. I don't like saying that. A friend of the show. That's better. Thanks for being a friend of the show. We really appreciate your time. Again, check out keepinghumane.com, all the fun stuff that's there. And as always, we like to say thanks for listening.
Help people.
help animals and keep it humane.